So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam's first canto, chapter 14, The Disappearance of Lord Krishna, text number 41.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
You are always the protector of the deserving living beings, that is, brahmanas, children, cows, women, and the diseased. Could you not give them protection when they approach you for shelter? Purport. The brahmanas were always engaged in researching knowledge for society's welfare work, both materially and spiritually. Deserve the protection of the king in all respects. Similarly, the children of the state, the cow, the diseased person, the woman, and the old man, specifically require the protection of the state or the Kshatriya king. If such living beings do not get protection by the Kshatriya or the royal order or by the state, it is certainly shameful by the Kshatriya. Not for the Kshatriya or the state. If such things had actually happened to Arjuna, Maharaj Yudhisthira was anxious to know about these discrepancies. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tathapatakam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sadhrajatam Savadana Vamitam Vitamdam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadhutam Darijana Saritam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Vandita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vaisthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamne Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschanyadisha Sharmine. So Kshatriya means the one who who protects from harm. So the duty of the kshatriya is to make sure that every member of the society is protected. Specifically mentioned here are the brahmanas, the children, the cow, the women, and the diseased. The brahmanas are very, very important as described here, because they are always acting to find out and propagate that knowledge which is for the benefit of the society. Without that knowledge, the kshatriya actually cannot do his duty properly. He depends on the brahmana. The kshatriya will always consult the brahmana how to rule the kingdom properly. The kshatriya becomes against dharma, he becomes polluted. Sometimes the brahmana even would kill the kshatriya. By the example of that one, Maharaj Vena, the brahmins killed him, they cursed him, because he became so irreligious. He wanted to stop all the worship of the Lord, and he declared that he himself was God, and the brahmins should worship him. So the brahmanas are very, very important in society. They don't do the actual administration work, but they are providing the knowledge and the guidance by which every member of the society can perform his function properly. Children, cow, nowadays, how much they are abused. It's absolutely horrific how much the children are being abused in the modern society. Recently there was that massacre of the 20 children in Connecticut. So the President of the United States, he made a big show of crying for these 20 children. But this same President is authorizing that 1.4 million children should be murdered every year by abortion. What kind of state is it that kills the children in mass? Millions and millions of children are being murdered. Millions and millions of cows are being murdered. Women are being abused like crazy. The old people are neglected. They're not being given proper situation. We went to a retirement home last week in Johannesburg to give a program. And it was just like, it was like a ghostly haunted place. It was horrible atmosphere. Just horrible atmosphere. So nobody is being properly protected. The Brahmins are harassed. The children, the cows are being killed. The diseased persons are neglected. The women are being exploited as sex objects. It's just the dungeon of the demons going on here, instead of a proper state. So this knowledge that Prabhupada is giving is so vital for the world situation. So absolutely vital. To give proper guidance, to give proper protection to everything. Outside of these teachings of Srila Prabhupada, where is the proper guidance? Where is the proper instructions? How the people can be happy? Instead of offering to the Lord the result of their activities, they want to enjoy the fruit of that work for themselves. But such enjoying spirit is actually sinful. It's actually offensive. Because they are not the proprietors. Krishna clearly states in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, I am the owner of everything. And what is the result then? Krishna is the owner, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. Krishna therefore is the supreme enjoyer. If you are the owner of a thing, you are the enjoyer also. It's like you own a car, you are the one who has the privilege to drive the car. Not that anybody can drive your car, because you're the owner. If you own a house, it's not that somebody can just come and move into your house and enjoy it. The owner has the enjoyment privileges. Therefore, Krishna is the supreme owner of everything. He is the enjoyer of everything. And the difficulty now is we are trying to enjoy what is the property of Krishna. Such mood and such actions generated from that mood are criminal activities. And these criminals are existing in every level of the society. The so-called brahmanas are criminals. The kshatriya, the ruling governmental class, they are criminal. Everyone is criminal. So how there can be peace and happiness in a world where everyone's a criminal? Everyone is acting against the laws of God. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible for there to be peace and happiness in such a society. It's impossible. Whatever peace and happiness is going on now is simply due to past pious activities. Previous pious activities. When people were more God conscious, you see, we're still reaping the benefits of previous pious activities. But that stock of pious activities is being exhausted every day as more and more sinful activities are committed. That stock of pious activities is being exhausted. And the whole society is gradually disintegrating and collapsing. It was predicted actually by an Irish poet, Yeats. He said, things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. That's where we're heading. That's where we're heading. And that's predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam. Complete anarchy. So, we're very fortunate. We have the solution. This Krishna consciousness movement is actually a solution for all the problems of the world. Therefore, we have to become first-class representatives of this knowledge and of this science and this process of self-realization so that we can be living examples of what it means to be Krishna conscious, so we can inspire others to be Krishna conscious. We have to be qualified to do the work of Brahmins, as described here. They're always engaged in researching knowledge for the society's welfare, materially and spiritually. That's our duty. What is our research? Prabhupada's books. We have to be always studying Prabhupada's books, doing research to see how the world situation can be solved. How materially and spiritually everything can be going on according to Vedic principles. That is our duty as Brahmana. We are meant to be the educators for the world society. So we all want to become highly educated. This is why Prabhupada wanted at this morning Bhagavatam class. We can very carefully study Bhagavatam, verse by verse by verse by verse. And so many books he has given us. He wants us to read all of these books. He said, all of my disciples must read all of my books, or they will fall down. So you may say, well, I'm not a disciple, I'm a grand disciple. But the grand disciple is another type of disciple. Prabhupada only wanted his disciples to read the books? Of course not, that would be ridiculous. So grand disciple, he's another type of disciple. So every one of us, we must, in the Prabhupada's order, we must read these books with great love and devotion. We must study these books of Srila Prabhupada. So we can understand how to guide the society. We should become so qualified in the practice and understanding of this science that the world leaders will come your Prime Minister of Australia, he will come to the ISKCON leaders here in Australia, your National Council, your GBCs, you see, and say, please guide us in how we can run this Australia according to Prabhupada's teaching. That's how qualified we should become. Especially our leading preachers should become so qualified that the government, the presidents, the prime ministers all over the world will come to the ISKCON preachers. Please guide us how we can run our countries in such a way that will be according to Prabhupada's books. This is why book distribution is so vitally important. By massive distribution of Prabhupada's books, that day will come when the people will demand Krishna conscious leaders. They will go to the polling station on voting day and they will see, where are the Hare Krishna candidates? You see. If you're Hare Krishna, you have my vote. If you're not Hare Krishna, forget it. That's all. That result will come someday if we keep distributing books. Nobody will vote for anybody unless they're Hare Krishna. Because I realize the Hare Krishna people are the only people that have the brains, who have the intelligence, who have the purity to properly guide the human society and govern the human society. So this is the caliber of Vaishnava that our society, ISKCON, should be producing. Vaishnavas who can actually take the leadership position throughout the world in every sphere of activity, governmental, educational, every sphere of in the society should be guided by enlightened Vaishnavas. This is real progress. This is the real progress of human society. As Srila Bhakti Sanatana Sarasvati Thakur said, when the high court judges and bring tila, then we are making progress. Then we are successful. So we have a big challenge that Prabhupada has given us. Prabhupada has given us the ultimate challenge. Krishna is the planet. A big, big challenge from Prabhupada. It's not a boring life. It's a very exciting life. Ultimate challenge, Krishna is the planet. So we have to be living embodiments of these teachings. As we were discussing last night, the moral one is actually a living embodiment of Krishna consciousness. The more he becomes empowered for bringing Krishna consciousness to this planet.
Yajanakati Shrishastata Devichana Sayadramana Kurute Gokastalanavatite.
Whatever the great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So that's what we want. We want the whole world to pursue this path of Krishna Bhakti. Isn't it? Don't we desire that? We want the whole world to take up Krishna Bhakti. Well, all we have to do is become acharyas, living embodiments of this knowledge. That's all we have to do. What was Prabhupada's vision for ISKCON? He told us in Mayapur, now we are 10,000. And then we will go to 10 million. He said 100,000. And then we will grow to 1 million, and then we will grow to 10 million, and he said there will be no scarcity of acharyas. Wow. Prabhupada wanted 10 million acharyas. Well, where are we going to get them from? We got to start with us. Here we are, a bunch of godasas serving our senses, thinking about our eating and sleeping. Well, we have to come off the Godas platform and come to the Goswami platform. we must become actual master of our, masters of our senses. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udaro pasta vegam. Etan vetanyo vishaheta dhyara sravam afimam priti vimshishishya. When you can conquer mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals, can spread Krishna consciousness far and wide all over this planet. So we have to actually become like that, controllers of our senses. The tongue should be used only to vibrate the glories of Krishna and to taste the shab. The mind should only be angry over Krishna's and Vaishnava is not properly being honored. You see, not if I'm dishonored, no. The Vaishnava doesn't think I'm a Vaishnava and I must be honored. He thinks I deserve the heaviest dishonor because I'm such a rascal. But if other Vaishnavas are dishonored, or Krishna is dishonored, he becomes very angry. You see, that's proper use of anger. Vacha vega manas, his mind, he always keeps it fixed in Krishna consciousness. He rises early in the morning, he takes his bath, he attends Mangal Arati at home or the temple, he observes Mangal Arati. And this way, he fixes his mind in Krishna consciousness very, very solidly, every day. Whether it's a weekend, a weekday, it doesn't matter. He wants to solidly fix his mind in Krishna consciousness. So whether he's doing service here at the temple, he's out doing preaching work, or he's working a job, or running a business, or going to school, whatever the Vaishnava he or she is doing, they want to be connected with Krishna at every minute. This is the sign. Somehow find ways and means to be connected with Krishna at every minute, by our speech, by our hearing, by our remembering, etc. In this way, we'll become purified, and we can actually become acharyas, living embodiments of these teachings. So, are there any questions? I see some papers being passed around. I see a bunch of blank papers. I don't see any questions. Here comes, no? Just blank papers. Okay. Here comes one, okay. All right. How do we define Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness means to always be conscious of Krishna. Krishna bhakti rasavadita is the Sanskrit. To always be absorbed in the mellow of devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is life. To not be Krishna conscious is death. So, we have a choice. Do you want to be a dead man or do you want to be a live person? And you want to be a zombie? A dancing dog in the hands of Maya Devi? Or do you want to actually be a living being, a liberated person? A Jivan Mukta. Krishna consciousness means you become Jivan Mukta, a liberated soul in this material world. That is Krishna consciousness. Are the 10 offenses against the holy name also sinful? Yes. In Spanish, the word sin means without. So, anything that separates you from Krishna, makes you minus Krishna, without Krishna, that is sinful. Of course, there's different varieties, there's different degrees of sinful. There's mild sin, moderate sin, and severe sin. But anything that separates you from Krishna is actually sinful. It should be given up. I mean, why would we want to be without Krishna? I mean, Krishna is so good looking, really good looking. He's the supreme beautiful. Who would not want to always be relishing the wonderful transcendental form of Krishna, Shamsunja. It's so delightful, a feast for the eyes, a feast for the mind. Who would not want to always be relishing the supreme beauty of Krishna? Anganya yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pasyanti panti kalayanti chiram jananti ananda chinmaya sadurjivila vigrahash govinda adipurushantam ahanda jani. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental figure is full of truth, bliss, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each and every one of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. You may wonder, why does it say each and every one of the limbs possesses in himself, why not in itself? Sometimes they devotees say in itself, but actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said in himself, each and every one of the limbs possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs. Why himself instead of itself? Well, because every part of Krishna's body is fully him. Even one little hair from his head is fully Krishna. Because even one hair of his head can eternally see, maintain, and manifest the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. You see? So such an amazing person, such a captivating person who controls, sees, maintains, manifests, even with a hair of his head or the toenail on his toe, who would not want to always be connected with that person? Just like you're in love with somebody, you know, somebody falls in love with someone, they just want to be with their beloved 24 hours a day. I mean, they don't want to be ever separated from their beloved, you see. So once we actually realize who is this Krishna, what are his qualities, what are his glories, whichever triumphantly dominate the mundane world, they're reflected in the minds of recollecting souls, and the great sages. Once we actually realize who is this Krishna, we wouldn't want to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness. Actually, Lord Chaitanya said like that. He said, actually, I have no love for Krishna. The proof is that even in his separation, I'm maintaining body and soul together. If I truly loved him, I couldn't tolerate his separation. I would die immediately in his absence. Therefore, I have no love for Krishna. So what is our position? What is our position? Lord Chaitanya said he had no love for Krishna. What is our position? So, we have to beg for the mercy. We have Prabhupada. We have many advanced devotees, you see. We have to beg their mercy. To beg their mercy. Please, please help me develop my love for Krishna. I'm suffering so much. I love Maya very much. But how much love I have for Krishna? Hardly any love for Krishna. Please bless me, O Guru Maharaj. Please bless me, Srila Prabhupada. That somehow or other I can get even just a little teeny weeny, itsy bitsy, teeny weeny smidgen of bhakti. You see? Even if we can just get a little tiny, insignificant drop of bhakti, genuine bhakti, you see? That will expand and become an unlimited ocean of bhakti. It's like Macha, avatar. He started out a little tiny fish, he kept expanding bigger, bigger, bigger. So the bhakti seed is just like that Macha. If we can get even a little teeny, teeny seed of genuine bhakti in our heart, see, that can expand and become an unlimited ocean of bhakti. Therefore, it is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavanji Guru Krishna Prasadai by Bhakti Lata Beach. That Bhakti Lata Beach, that is very significant thing. That seed of genuine bhakti which is planted in the heart by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. After one has wandered for countless eons within the cycle of birth and death, going through the 8,400,000 species again and again and again, suffering, adi atmik, adi bodhik, adi daivik, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, suffering, the threefold miseries, the fourfold miseries, and if that wasn't enough, there's the seven whips also, described in the Krishna book. Suffering again and again and again, if somehow one can get that seed of bhakti planted in the heart, then I've got my ticket back to home, back to God. Oh, this nasty, horrible place. Got my ticket. Got my reservation on the Vaikunth airplane. So this gift that Prabhupada has given us, there's no gift like that. It's given us tickets back to Godhead. Prabhupada's the captain of the airplane. We take this ticket that Prabhupada has given. Don't lose this ticket. It's the most valuable thing. It's kind of like compared to you're in some third world country, and a revolution breaks out, and all the Australian citizens are in great danger now because this revolution broke out, and there's rape, murder, pillaging, it's going on everywhere, and there's great danger for the Australian citizens who happen to be in them. But the Australian government flies in an airplane from the Australian Air Force to rescue all the Australian citizens. So, and they send the military jeeps come out to pick up all the Australian citizens with armed convoys and pick up all the Australian citizens and bring them to the airport, which is under fire. Actually, there's people shooting at the airport, but there's all kinds of guards around. And once you get on that airplane, you're back on your way back to Australia out of the revolution that's going on. Even though you're still in that country, now you're on the airplane. I'm safe now. The airport is well guarded, and even though it's a revolution going on, so it's like that. You see, this Hare Krishna movement is the airplane. Even though we're here in the material world, we're as good as back to Godhead. Once you take shelter of this movement, completely dedicate your life to Srila Prabhupada's movement, even though we're still here in this material world, you are as good as back to home, back to God, and you're as good as being Goloka Vrindavan. And Prabhupada actually told us that. He said, these temples, they are not in the material world. They are Vaikuntha in the spiritual world. So somehow or other, don't leave the movement. Just somehow or other, stay in this movement. And the most wonderful transformation will happen to you. It may not be perceptible, but over one decade, two decades, three decades, four decades, and you look back, you go, wow, this movement had the most amazing impact on my consciousness. Just being a part of this movement and doing my duty every day, chanting my rounds, following the principles, doing some service for Prabhupada's mission, just staying here and not leaving, has brought the most amazing transformation in my consciousness. By the mercy of Prabhupada and so many devotees who are faithfully serving Prabhupada and the predecessor acharyas, just somehow sticking with this movement has brought the most amazing transformation in my life. It's a fact. It's absolutely a fact. Just don't leave. Somehow or other, stay here, no matter what. Stick it out. And a miracle will happen. You'll have a miraculous transformation of your consciousness. from in the beginning, a person who was trying to enjoy this material world, to a person, the culmination, the person whose only desire is to please Krishna, with his every thought, every word, and every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. It's an amazing metamorphosis. If one stays with this process, it's an amazing metamorphosis that takes place. From the caterpillar to the butterfly, Prabhupada gives an example. I mean, who can imagine that an ugly caterpillar can become a beautiful butterfly? You see? It's unimaginable. But it happened that grossly ugly caterpillar becomes the most beautiful butterfly. So here we are, grossly ugly sense enjoyers, you see, wanting to gratify our senses. But if we stick with this process, we'll become beautiful pure devotees in due course of time. Shuddha bhaktas, you see. We'll actually regain our spiritual identities in Krishna's pastimes in due course. Of course, then we shouldn't try to jump to that. That's called sahajya. Oh, I think I'm this or I'm that. No. Just be the faithful servant of your spiritual master, your faithful servant of Srila Prabhupada, a faithful servant of Lord Chaitanya. And in due course of time, everything becomes revealed to us. Everything will be revealed. Who we are in Krishna's pastime, and what is our duty in the spiritual world, everything will become fully manifested to us in due course of time. We have to be very patient, very, very patient. But in due course, everything becomes revealed if we simply stick with this process every day, chanting our rounds faithfully, following the principles, rising early for Mangal Arati, chanting Gayatri, all the things, staying clean, serving the mission, trying to make the world Krishna conscious to the whatever we can do, whether it's cleaning the temple, distributing books, cooking, managing, raising children in Krishna consciousness. Just try to do everything possible to push this movement forward according to your particular service you've been given by your spiritual master and your temple authorities, and the most amazing miracle will happen in your life. One will add, we eventually reach that stage where we can see Krishna. Prabhupada ordered me like that. He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. In another letter, because I used to write Prabhupada so many questions, and he said, if you will, he gave me a hint. He said, if you will engage 24 hours a day in the service of Krishna with full sincerity of attitude, then Krishna will personally come to you and answer all of your questions. I used to write Prabhupada a lot of questions. I wanted to know, you know, I wanted to hear it straight from Prabhupada. Because sometimes devotees would throw in their own opinion. I wanted to make sure it was a bona fide answer. So I wrote Prabhupada many letters about this thing and that thing. And I got the straight answer from Prabhupada. But later on, as I became a little more mature, I didn't need to anymore. But when I was a brand new devotee, I really felt that need to get direct answers from Prabhupada. And he was very kind. He was very kind to me. Actually, they had instituted a policy, only the sannyasis and GBCs and temple presidents should write letters. But Prabhupada gave me a concession. He said, actually, you should consult your GBC, general president. But he said, but if there's some urgent need, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. Just see the love of Prabhupada. Even though I'm burdening him, I'm taking time away from his translation work, you see. And he had so much big thing burden, but still, he was so kind. He gave me so much love. Even though I was just some rank and file devotee, you know, I wasn't any, had any position. He just said, if there's any urgent need, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. Prabhupada was so kind. He gave so much love. I mean, nobody loved me like that. No girlfriend, my parents, my college buddy, my high school buddies. Nobody loved me like Prabhupada did, you see. This is how this movement took off like a rocket. This Prabhupada was just showering us with his love. So here's a question that's coming. Okay. Please let us know how to overcome laziness. I asked this question many years ago. Because I come from a very lazy background. I was one of those lazy hippies, you know. And so I knew this isn't good to be a lazy fellow. Because Prabhupada said, don't be a lazy fellow. So I asked one time the sannyasi at a big festival in New Vrindavan. And he gave the most profound answer. I never forgot his answer. Because I was scared to death. I wanted to know because I didn't want to be lazy. I knew it was bad to be lazy. So, but I was afraid he would say, you know, I said, how do you overcome laziness? I was afraid he would say,
by hard work.
I was really scared he would say it, but I knew I needed to hear whatever his answer was because I knew I was lazy and it wasn't good. And he gave the most wonderful sublime answer. Two words only. He said, by love. And if you think about it, it's a very deep answer because just like how hard does a mother work with a little baby child? I mean, my God, she's working 24 hours a day with that child. Does she think, oh, I'm working, this baby's working me really hard. Why is the baby working me so hard? Does she ever think that way? No. It's her loving affection. It's called a burden of love, you see. Loving affection. So if there's love, there's no question of hard work. It's just your love. You're expressing your love. You see? So that is the actual way to overcome laziness. Is that sannyasi very wisely and very poetically and sutrically, if I can coin that term, by love. Sleep is a real impediment to sadhana. Well, not necessarily. Oversleep is a real impediment to sadhana. But the proper amount of sleep, what does Krishna say in Gita? He said that one should not sleep too much or sleep too little, eat too much or eat too little. One has to yukta hara harasha yukta seshashta karmasu. He who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. Krishna didn't say who completely gives up eating, sleeping, working, recreation. He didn't say that. He said the one who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation. So one should take what rest they need so they can be alert and energized. But not while I'm feeling depressed, so I'm just going to go sleep. Or, you know, you eat a huge ton of prasadam and you just like become like a zombie. You have to go sleep half the day. Not my thing. Okay? Is it necessary to take Brahman initiation to go back to Godhead? Actually, the most important initiation is first initiation. Because then you're actually accepted as a disciple. Brahman initiation is a recognition that now you have... In fact, I know, because when Prabhupada gave me Brahman initiation, he asked me one question. He said, so, you were chanting 16 rounds Bhagavad Gita. So, yeah. So that was... He just wanted to make sure... Brahman initiation was further recognition of someone who had taken first initiation and was executing it properly. Because in Vedic culture, Brahman initiation is the same thing. But Prabhupada's system was, it's like a training. It's kind of like you go to work for some corporation. The first 3 months you're on probation. I know what the system is in Australia, but I got hired years ago when I was working full time. I was hired as a computer programmer by the Dallas Community College district in Dallas, and there was a 3-month probation. So you're hired, but you're not fully in yet. So first initiation, you're a Brahmin in training, you see? And second initiation, now you're a fully recognized Brahmin. It's like that. You're a Brahmin in training. Now you're being trained up to become actually qualified as a Brahmin, and second initiation recognizes now you're qualified. Is it necessary to get that second initiation? What is required is to be fully absorbed in the mood of serving Krishna. That's required. Even if you take first initiation, you left your body, would you go back to Godhead? If you're fully Krishna conscious, yes, you'll go back to Godhead. So it's not absolutely necessary to be second initiated to go back to Godhead. But one has to be in the mood of a Brahmana, of one who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, to go back to God. You said you wrote to Prabhupada because you wanted to get direct bona fide answer rather than other leaders because they give their own opinion. Does that mean we should be skeptical of our authority? Well, Prabhupada actually told us in one letter, he said, there are so many false things in ISKCON. Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada said that. So wanting to hear directly from Prabhupada mean I'm being disrespectful or I'm just being intelligent? Actually, we should learn to trust our authorities, not blindly, but by reading Prabhupada's books, we should see how nicely they are representing Srila Prabhupada. We shouldn't trust anyone blindly. Even in the shelter exam that's given to every devotee who wants to take shelter, mandated by the GBC, there is one, under what condition will you reject your guru? So you can even be skeptical of your own spiritual master according to the GBC mandated exam. So it's not that we shouldn't be blind followers, that's the point. We should study Prabhupada's books, and we should follow Prabhupada's books, and this way we'll get very good realizations. And then you can see how bona fide your authorities actually are. You see? So we don't advise to become skeptical of your authorities. We advise you to become very well versed in Prabhupada's teachings, and then you can see how bona fide your authorities are. But there are cases when Prabhupada is very unhappy. Devotees blindly follow authorities in our movement. Even though he told me in one letter to do whatever the authorities say without question. In another case, he chastised devotees for blindly following the authorities. There was one in New York City. There was one pastime. ISKCON Lila. One lady from Japan came to the temple and she said, I am the heiress to the Toyota fortune. And the devotees believed her. She was best known as a con artist. And the temple president, it was a sannyasi, he believed her also. And he was thinking, well, this would be a sacrifice for ISKCON. I can marry this woman, give up sannyas and marry this woman, and ISKCON will inherit the Toyota fortune. It's going to be fabulously rich. So he did that. He gave up sannyas. He married this woman. She was so much honored. I couldn't believe it. She came to visit our Miami temple. And during the Bhagavatam class, she had a female attendant that traveled with her, okay? During the Bhagavatam class, she was the fan with the chamara while she was hearing the Bhagavatam. Even today in ISKCON, our gurus give lectures. They only get fan to be on their Vyas Puja days. They don't get fanned when they're giving lectures. But this woman was fanned with a chamara while she heard the Bhagavatam class. That's how much she was honored, the heiress of the Toyota fortune. Well, she had a taste for Chinese egg rolls, this lady. And she was ordering them in fast food places. They were offering foodstuffs that contained eggs to Radha Govinda. in New York City, Prabhupada finally, this leaves Prabhupada, he was very unhappy. The devotees didn't want to say anything. After all, this is the queen, you know. You can't say anything. This is the great authority. Prabhupada wasn't pleased. The devotees are blindly following these authorities. You see. So, it's not that we should be skeptical of authorities, but at the same time, you should be enlightened to know what is the standard of Krishna consciousness. Because sometimes authorities deviate. Didn't it happen to Bali Maharaj? That his authority deviated? He became one of the 12 great Mahajanas when he rejected his bogus authority. So it's not that we come around trying to be skeptical, but at the same time, we should know what are Prabhupada's teachings. If someone says you should offer eggs to the deities, you could say, oh, wait a minute, but I'm the authority here. And I say you should offer eggs to the deities. But wait a minute, Prabhu. This is not, we have to be a little intelligent. We don't blindly, by reading Prabhupada's books, you'll see exactly what Prabhupada wants, and then you'll know. Then you'll see how nicely the authority is here. Just like here, I come to this temple, I'm very impressed how nicely it's being managed. I'm very, very impressed here. Because I see devotees coming to Mangal Arti, I see books being distributed, I see first class deity worship, prasadam distribution, a constant flow of people. And I come here and I appreciate, oh, how nicely Rani Buddha Prabhu is managing this. You know, how much Krishna consciousness there is behind management here. It's obvious by the results. So I'm very inspired when I come here. Yesterday morning you mentioned that according to our love for Krishna, Guru and Vaishnava, that is the extent we get realizations in Krishna consciousness. So how to develop that sincere love for Krishna, Guru and Vaishnava? Where do we begin? Rupa Goswami says it all begins with faith. You have to have faith in the process. Actually, if we carefully read Srila Prabhupada's books, then it will be very clear that there is a supreme person behind this existence. I recommend that one really has a solid philosophical foundation for their practice of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada has certainly given us that. One should clearly understand why there has to be a supreme person who is behind this existence. That's where it begins. And one should understand why that supreme person has created us. What is our purpose for existence, and how do we perfect our existence? Once one has these basic understanding, he will understand that we exist for the purpose of having a loving relationship with Krishna or God, and that the only way we can actually be happy is to develop that loving relationship with Krishna or God. So one understands the absolute necessity and the reality, then he can begin to do that. Manmanama mamat bhakta majagji man namaskuru. Mamma Vaishashi Yukvayavam Atmanam Matparayana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your respectful obeisance unto me. In this way, by becoming fully absorbed in me, you will surely come to me. So, from Guru, from Vaishnavas, one then learns what is that system of how to meditate on Krishna. By kirtan, by deity worship, by japa, by prasadam, by hearing, by serving, one learns what is that system of how to be absorbed in Krishna. So in this way one can begin. So, it looks like the questions are out, and we're over time a little bit. So we thank you all very, very much for your participation in this movement and coming to class today. To enliven It's more, the more we're all together, it becomes enlivening. So thanks to each and every one of you for being here to help and enliven the atmosphere in this assembly. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai Srimad Sankarsan Dasa Vichari Maharaj ki jai.